This is Roger Bennett of Men in Blazers.
Hey, this is Alexi Lawless.
You're listening to the Mouths of the South podcast.
Mouths of the South podcast, right here on Dirty South Soccer.
Rock on.
Eat it up.
This is the Mouths of the South podcast.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
The official Dirty South Soccer podcast.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Talking all things Atlanta United FC.
Don't nobody understand the words that are coming out of your mouth, man.
We are
the Mouths of the South.
The South got something to say. That's all I got to say.
Hey, guys, we are back. The Mouths of the South podcast right here on DirtySouthSoccer.com, your home on the World Wide Web for all things Atlanta United and Atlanta soccer. Sam Franco and Eric Quintana with you on this episode. Jason is a Smith, or Jason Smith, as he's known in the real world and not on the internet, is not going to be joining us today. Had a thing come up with his infant child. So
Wait. You're saying his middle name isn't Izza?
No, it's not.
It was Jason is a Smith.
That would actually be pretty cool, and it would make his Twitter handle make that much more sense. But no, it is not, and we wish him the best with Baby is a Smith, who might be feeling a little bit under the weather, which babies are wont to do. So we wish Jason the best, and I'm sure he'll be back on with us next week.
Watch out for that green poo.
That's correct, yes, the blow-ups, if you will. But Sam Franco here, at Sam J. Franco, Eric Quintana, at Eric Quintana 47. We are the Mouths of the South at MOTS Podcast on Twitter. You can also email us, MOTSpodcast@gmail.com. We have a lot of stuff to get to today with Atlanta United. We'll also talk about Andrew Carlton and Chris Gosselin playing for the United States youth national teams over in a tournament down in Mexico where they played some pretty good games, and Andrew Carlton was very, very impressive. So we'll get to that, and we'll get to the latest U.S. men's national team roster for the upcoming World Cup qualifiers, and a very unfortunate set of circumstances for Clint Dempsey, who had to drop out of the U.S. camp as well as not play for the Seattle Sounders anytime soon because he's being looked at for an irregular heartbeat, which obviously is something that is very scary. So we'll get to that. And
I'm not a doctor, but that sounds bad.
It does. It definitely does. And we'll also talk about the Trinidad and Tobago roster. Is it Tobago or Tobago?
I say Tobago.
You say Tobago? Okay, we'll go with that. I think that sounds better anyway. So the Trinidad and Tobago roster that includes Kenwyn Jones and obviously their most important player in Kenwyn Jones. So we'll get to that as well. But first, we will start off this edition of the Mouths of the South podcast, again for DirtySouthSoccer.com, with Darren Eales. And he's done some interviews recently with Forbes and also with Georgia Public Broadcasting. That one was earlier today. Well, I guess today in a sense that we're recording this on Monday, the 29th. But Darren, one thing he seems to have, you know, it's one of these things where you mention it once and it could be just one of those things where you're like, oh, he just said something. But when something gets brought up more than once, it seems like that could be a plan or maybe something that they're trying to do. The engine room thing. And that's where I want to start here. And there's obviously more pressing stuff in terms of the team, and we'll get to all that too, like when he's talking about the expansion draft and things like that.
This is pressing for the fan experience.
Right. And it's just something that we talked about last episode of the podcast, and I made it very clear that personally I'm not a fan of that name, and we'll get more into that later here. But Darren Eales brought it up when talking about the supporter section. I think the first time he brought it up, it was more of a thing where he was like, you know, that could be the engine of the team, you know, and what drives the team. And
yeah,
now,
no, but he specifically said engine room. Let's make that clear. He said the two words engine room, he did say.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This right. time he said that. Like, whereas, you know, the first time he didn't say it in that exact
term. No, he did. He said exactly the engine room of of the stadium, whatever.
So the second time he has said that is what we're talking about now then with I guess I was unclear on that. I thought it was just more of a reference to that kind of analogy of we want the fan base to be like the engine of the team or whatever. And for that part of it, I guess it makes sense as a name, but my whole issue with it is, and again, it's being brought up again, which means that it seems like it's something that they're seriously thinking about, or at least putting out there in the media to gauge the response to it. They went away from the train dynamic or the train aesthetic when they didn't choose a name that really represented that for the team. So it seems weird to me that they're going back to that now after distancing themselves from it with the name Atlanta United, as opposed to one of the other, you know, myriad of names that was out there that had something to do closer with that, whether it was, you know, Terminus FC or Locomotive Atlanta or something like that, where they really could have embraced that train thing. Now it just seems weird that they're going back to it.
Yeah. So do you remember who won that poll Terminus Legion did back in the day? I forget. It was a phoenix or a bird. That's what ended up winning. I just looked it up. Sorry.
Yeah, like Firebirds or something. It was
It was like a phoenix or a bird. Next was Blackheart. Then it was No Mascot. And then in the middle was a train conductor, and that was like 17% of the vote, I think. And then under that was the locomotive. So I'm with you in the sense that if this is what they wanted to, if that's the culture, if that's the kind of the theme they wanted around the team, they should have picked a different name. I'm ultimately going to be fine with anything they choose as long as it's the fans that choose it. I'm a little concerned, and hopefully he can, next time I see him or something like that, or next time any one of us at Dirty South Soccer sees him, maybe we can ask him just, you know, in a friendly manner. We're not like crapping on Darren Eels or anything for doing this. For all I know, this is not even a thing. But it's funny that he has said it twice now. And it seems to be a thing that he kind of wants to happen, or maybe it's the theme that the team is kind of pushing. If that's going to be the case, this is what they want, then they need to make they can push it as much as they want, but they need to let the fans vote on this. New York City, the NYCFC did a vote to choose their supporter section name, and I'm not totally against the idea of just a super transparent. It can be something as transparent as a Twitter poll. I don't care. I just need to be transparent. I need the fans to choose this. I'm fine with the fans choosing whatever they want for the team, for the mascot, for the nickname, for the supporter section. You know, I heard a great idea on train whistles, and then that spawned into, you know, a train horn being played or being rang or whatever after every goal, which I think is awesome. But again, I want the fans to choose that. I don't want the team to kind of orchestrate how that mentality goes, how the theme of the team goes. We've heard over and over how Darren Eels wants this to be the club for the fans and the fans club and all that stuff. And that's what they truly want. Then I don't want this forced. I really don't. I agree with you. I don't mind it. I like it. I just think it would have made more sense had we'd gone with something more like Atlanta Locomotives or whatever the locomotive or train theme nickname was going to be, or team name was going to be. I have a problem with it now. It seems too forced, especially since it's coming from him. If that's even the case, remember, this is just, he happened to say this twice.
Yeah.
So chances are this could be nothing. We could be overblowing this. Happens a lot in any kind of media. So this is, it certainly could be something that's happening. It could just be us reading too much into it. But that being said, it could also very well be that they're trying to force this upon the fan base and trying to see if they won't just accept it and run with it.
Well, I think a lot of the times with stuff like this, too, in the media, it is guys like us and people that do this kind of thing really trying to get inside someone's head when nobody can really do that. So we don't know what the motivation is or anything like that. But at the same time, it does seem like when it gets mentioned more than once, that it's something that they're, you know, at least throwing out there maybe to just gauge the response to that.
Yeah.
So, again, I was always more in favor of letting the fans do a lot of the decision-making in terms of what the team would be, just in terms of the representation of the team to the community and to really the rest of the league. But obviously there are some things that fans should not be a part of in a team-building process, and most of that stuff is the on-the-field
right
aspects. But anything off the field in terms of the game day experience, in terms of what the fans are paying their good money to be a part of, yeah, that needs to be way more crowdsourced than some of the other stuff. So something like this, if they just went ahead and were like, hey, Engine Room sounds like a good idea, let's just do this, then I'm not really on board with that. But if it's something where the fans, then they got fan support behind it and held a vote, like you said, or something else to that vein, and it seemed like it was a very popular thing amongst the fan base, then yeah, it doesn't matter what I like personally or not. If it's most popular with the fan base, then go with it. But it's just something where personally, it's not my favorite thing in the world.
And I just don't think I don't think, from what I've seen, from what I've read, I don't know that the fans like it 100%. I think they sort of like it, but they're not totally sold on it. And I'm curious as to how this even came about. Because his direct quote is the quote was something to the effect of, you know, he wants the supporter section to be the engine room, the noise of the game, is pretty much how he said it. And it makes sense when you think about the culture in Atlanta and what some of the names were, you know, projected to be. But yeah, again, this has got to be a fan thing. This can't be pushed by the front office. This has got to be strictly a fan thing.
Yeah, I agree. And I think sometimes, too, you have to watch out with some of these fan polls and things like that, because they are rife for sabotage. I don't know if you saw Real Madrid held a thing where they wanted fans to vote on a possible third kit, and the Barcelona fans got wind of that. And so a lot of the leaders for the contest were Barcelona-themed Real Madrid third kits. Like, yeah. One of them was the blue and red stripe kit, and then one of them was the like Catalonian flag as the Real Madrid jersey, which is super hilarious because Madrid represents the royalty and the establishment of Spain, whereas Barcelona in the Catalonian region is a region where a lot of people want to separate and form their own country apart from Spain. So they're very much the rebellion against the traditional powers that be in Spain. So all of that stuff is just really funny. And you've got to watch out with stuff like that, because you can have, if you leave these polls open to people, that's why I think Atlanta United has been very smart with their surveys, because obviously you send those surveys only to people that you know are going to take it seriously and not make a joke out of it. So that's what you've got to watch out for with fan voting and fan polls sometimes.
Again, if this is what the fans want, if you the listener, hear that, you know, a potential name could be the Engine Room, and you love it, and so do all your friends, and it turns out like 80% of the people that, you know, season ticket holders and, you know, Atlanta United fans in general, you know, love it, I'm all for it. Let's get the train whistles and the train horn to go along with it. I'm good with it. But that's my thing. I just wanted to be fan oriented and not something that team has pushed on the fans.
Yeah, and it's funny too, again, because if you do these fan suggestions things or whatever, some people always try to be clever and sneak things maybe past the front door. I know I had a buddy who was joking, but he suggested to me, you know, what if they called it the Loud Pack? And I was like, you know, on the surface, that's actually a pretty cool sounding name, but obviously those of you who are hip to the slang of the day know that Loud Pack is a euphemism to a certain recreational party supply. So you don't want to be caught up with things like that. So that's all I'm saying. You just got to be careful with that kind of stuff. Obviously, there's good intentions out there, but in this Twitter society that we live in today, there's just always people that are trying to mess up and mess with things like that.
Yeah.
So that's all I say with that. You got to be careful with that. But I do agree that the fans need to have involvement on something like this, because what purpose does it serve if a bunch of people who paid for season tickets are sitting in a section that they can't connect to the name, or they have no connection or feeling for the name of the section they're sitting in, so to speak?
Not only that, but it would just scream as if someone whispered in Darren's ear and someone from Terminus Legion, and then that's just how it, you know, sprouted roots and took off. You know, Footy Mom might not like that. Resurgence right. Might not like that. And they're part of this culture that we're going to create in Atlanta, you know, that soccer supporter culture that, well, that's already here, but that's going to be, you know, that's going to grow once games start playing and you know, people start getting into the stadium and all that stuff. And you're going to – I'm not going to say you're going to, you know, alienate them, but, you know, they have as much a say in this as Terminus Legion, even though it seems as though Terminus Legion is kind of in the back pocket of Atlanta United. Still, it's this isn't Terminus Legion's club, is what I want to say. You know, this is the fans' club. Terminus Legion is just one you know faction of that fan base. Not to crap on Terminus Legion, I'm sorry.
No, we love Terminus Legion, yeah. But obviously, like you said, it's not just their club. This is Atlanta's club. This is Footy Mob's club. This is Resurgence's club. This is the Golden Girls for AUFC's club. You know, whatever other minor fan group I can think of that I've seen.
The faction now.
The UK supporters. Let's not forget the Atlanta United UK supporters. Wasn't there also a Silverbacks supporters group from the UK?
Yeah, there's an Australian Atlanta United supporters group, I think.
Okay, see, and that's what I'm saying, you know.
Sorry, it's a Twitter handle. I don't know if it's a supporters group. It just exists on Twitter.
The point of that is that it doesn't need to just be one group's decision. And, yeah, we're not saying that that is what happened, but the name, the engine room, that train aesthetic does kind of feel like a more of a Terminus Legion thing than anything else. So, again, we just want everybody to be involved in these decisions. Other things Darren Eales was talking about in some of these interviews include the month of December, which will be a very busy one for Atlanta United. I guess the month of December and early and mid-January as well, because MLS Cup is on December 7th, and that is
No. Sorry. This is all based off last year. Sorry, I sent you dates based off last year. So here's how it works. He also said in the interview that the expansion drive is going to happen. So that's
yes, he did.
I'm surprised that's not bigger news. But that's what he said. So expansion draft. The way it worked last year. MLS Cup happened December 7th. Oh, sorry, not last year, but in 2014. MLS Cup happened December 7th.
So the last time there was an expansion.
Right. There was a half-day transfer window December 8th, the next day. 2 days later, there was the expansion draft. The day before, the list for all the unprotected players came out. The next day was obviously expansion draft. So that's how quick this thing happens. Once the season ends is when, at least for Atlanta United, things honestly get super exciting. And it's probably going to be a long week for us at Dirty South Soccer, but that's how quick it happens. If we want to go over the basic rules of the expansion draft, just to refresh those who might not know, let me see. Okay. So teams can protect up to 11 players on their senior and supplemental roster. Each MLS club essentially calls dibs on 11 of its own players. Homegrown players who are not on the senior roster are safe. So basically anyone who hasn't made the senior team is safe. Those that are still in the academy programs, they are not protected. So unless they specifically protect them, they can be taken. Generations Adidas players are protected unless they've graduated from the program. I guess they've designated players are not automatically protected. You have to actually spend or use a one of your protection slots. Oh my gosh. Can you tell that I'm, like, all over the place today?
I was going to say. Well, that's the problem, though, with MLS, and my biggest issue with it is all of these things, man. It's just there's so many different nuances and stuff like that with – and we'll get into this a little bit later, but with discovery rights and things like that, there's just so many different layers you have to peel back before you actually are able to understand what exactly is going on.
All right, so designated players are not safe from selection unless they've been put on the team's protection list. If they have a no-trade clause in their contract, then the team has to spend one of those protected picks or whatever.
Right.
They have to spend it on that player. Once a team has picked two from one specific team, then you can't pick anymore. So you can only pick two from each club. Just because they play in MLS doesn't mean you're still going to have to use the international slot if they're an international player or someone from outside the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much it, I think. Those are like the big points, I think.
And that's the thing. We talked about this a little bit on the last episode to where
– you can get lost in some of these rules, I'm not
going to
lie.
Of course, yeah. And not that many players are going to really, at least historically, have a super high impact on your team. Hopefully some come out and do, but more often than not, you're kind of grasping at straws on something like this.
Interesting you say that. The notable players from the last expansion draft, now this is this was 2 years ago. Diego Fagundes was unprotected. Eddie Johnson was unprotected. Tim Cahill was unprotected.
But none of them ended up being guys that were taken, even though they were unprotected.
Yeah.
That's the thing. A lot of the times.
You're right. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, none of those guys ended up actually, just because they were unprotected doesn't mean they were taken. So that's a little strange to me. Like, if Atlanta United had come into play back then and Tim Cahill were an option for a guy to claim, I would have screamed from the rooftops for Atlanta United to claim a guy like that. You can't, you know, really get that kind of experience at that kind of value. So I think that would have been a guy to look at. But coming up on this one, I think we've said that the most obvious choice for a guy that doesn't look like he's going to be protected just based on what we've seen and the way that the club has handled him is a mixed Discarude. So would you be willing to pay that much money? He's not a DP, but he makes a
renegotiate the contract once the player's chosen.
Okay. Well, that's the thing. What has he done? Because he's making, I think I read, was it $750,000 a year? So obviously,
stupid money.
Yeah, I was going to say that's not something Atlanta United is going to want to pay for somebody like that, especially a guy who, what has he done recently to show that he deserves that contract? I mean, I think he would need to play for less money and show that he deserves that kind of money before.
I'd take him if it's normal money, non DP money. I don't care how much it is, as long as it's non DP money.
That's not DP money. I mean, it's very close to that threshold, but I still don't understand how New York City was able to like negotiate all that stuff, because again, MLS rule book is like the U.S. tax code. Very, very confusing, to say the least. Also, coming from Darren Eales, the coach talk, where they said that they are a couple of months away from making that hire, which kind of makes you think that, well, it begs this question. Do they not know right now who they want the coach to be?
That's where I was going. I'm starting to think maybe Jason Christ was their guy. the talk from, you know, the front office itself led everyone to believe that, yeah, it's somewhere in August, the coach is going to be, you know, we're going to announce the coach. Just hearing Bocanegra at Villalba's press conference, he basically made it seem like, yeah, any day now we're good to go. I think that's what his exact words. Any day now, or, you know, we're ready to go whenever.
Yeah.
Which made me think
like
that, okay, they've got
about face.
Yeah, they've got the guy. They know, you know, he's just, you know, they're waiting. They're sparsing out the news a little bit. They're just, you know, trying to beef up ticket sales. Whatever the excuse was, I don't care. I mean, it's fine with me. It just now it just seems like, okay, well, now we've extended the we've extended that just a little bit further now, which is fine. I mean, I'm starting to get worried that whoever their first choice was, or whoever they might have already had, might have taken a different path.
At this rate, I just want them to hire Landon Donovan. I mean, why not? You know, the guy would be a big splash at this point. And quite frankly, one of the rumors is Josh Wolf. And is there really that much of a difference in Josh Wolf and Landon Donovan? I mean, neither of them has head coaching experience at this level.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that Darren Eales, I think Carlos have a good grasp, just based on the few signings they've made, have a good grasp on MLS. They obviously know, at least Carlos has experience in MLS and knows what the league is all about and everything. Darren has seemed to really acclimate well to, you know, managing within the league. So I would trust them to hire, you know, like some kind of European tactician or whatever. Someone that's foreign to MLS specifically for the X's and O's on the field, as opposed to figuring out the front office type stuff. I think they've got that under control. Before all of this happened, before any of the signings happened, I would have said, yeah, let's hire someone who knows what, you know, what moving around an MLS is like. And you know, you still have to know that kind of stuff. Whoever they bring in has to know, you know, playing on turf, time differences, climate changes, all that kind of stuff, which I'm sure they'll brief them on before hiring them. But MLS is also a strange league, and
definitely, to say the least.
Yeah, definitely a strange league when compared to, you know, Europe and South America. So, you know, that having that MLS experience is definitely a quality, you know, a positive quality. But with them, with me, I have a lot of confidence in what they're doing front office wise. They can leave the tacticians, the tactical stuff to anyone they want. I have full confidence in whoever they choose, whether it's MLS or someone foreign, or, you know, someone from Europe, someone from South America. I don't care. I got a feeling it's going to be someone from South America we've never heard of.
Hey, man, Harry Redknapp is still out there. I'm just saying Harry Redknapp is still out there.
I can't wait until it's like, just, you know, they bring all the media to, you know, whatever, Cobb Galleria, whatever they do it. And it's just a box in the middle of the room.
Cobb Galleria?
I don't know. Just some random place. You know, there's a box on the middle of the stage, and at the end of Darren Neal's presentation, out pops Carlos Bocanegra.
Oh, yes. That has been your
I'm waiting for that one.
Conspiracy theory.
Someone asked him about that. I forget who it was, but someone asked him, and he's just like, no, I'm good doing what I'm doing now.
Yes, and taking on more than you can chew, definitely, yeah, not something you want to see.
Especially when he's so fresh.
Especially, you know, that's what I'm saying. And a first-year team, you really want to see that division of labor, because you want everybody focused on the task at hand and their own tasks. So we'll see what ends up happening. But, yeah, I think that the manager coming through is something that the more time it takes, the more antsy people are going to start to get.
I think the longer it goes, the more likely it's going to be someone who knows the league a little better than most, because of things like the expansion draft, because of things like the super draft in January, things like that. You know, they're not going to have time to, you know, brief them on players and scouting and stuff like that. And I mean, no one's going to know. The protected list comes out the day before the draft, if I didn't mention that before. So it's not like you have a lot of time to figure these things out. You kind of have to dive in head first and hope for the best. So, again, I think the longer this goes that they haven't announced a coach, the more likely it's going to be someone from MLS, someone American that knows the U.S. soccer system, and in particular MLS.
That's why, to me, it's just starting to feel more and more like Josh Wolf. And, you know, I haven't checked who the bookie's favorite is. I haven't gone over to Betfred or Ladbrokes or any of those guys over in the UK to see who they've installed as the bookie's favorite to be Atlanta United.
Yeah, I don't know if they're paying much attention to who Atlanta United's going to hire over there.
Probably not. Probably not. But, you know, anything's possible. But, yeah, I haven't. I just feel like it's going to be Wolf. But we will see how all of that shakes out in the coming months. Hey, Eric, I have a question for you.
Is it about fan essentials?
Yeah, I just want to know if you would like to get all of your favorite Falcons, Braves, Hawks team merchandise delivered straight to your doorstep, because that sounds pretty cool. And if you want that, you should check out fanessentials.net. All you need to do is subscribe, then pick your team, and every month you get your team's gear shipped right to your door. It's very convenient.
Yeah, they find the sports gear so you don't have to. Each fan box comes packed full of some amazing gear. It makes a great gift idea for any sports fan. You know, again, Falcons, Braves, Hawks. A little bit of college. I think they're working on that MLS deal still, so expect that sometime in the near future. Prices start at just $14.99 and go up to $34.99. Visit fanessentials.net. Use the promo code MOTS, Mouths of the South, just MOTS. Use that at checkout for 30% off your first month. Visit fanessentials.net to get all the fan essentials you need.
Boom. So, yes, don't forget, fanessentials.net, promo code M-O-T-S.
I still need to get some socks.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a little jealous that you already had the socks. You already have, like, 8 hats.
Oh, I'm a
You've already got the
head.
Shirt.
I am a gear head. You know, I just got that that new shirt, the one that's got the old school Adidas logo on it, and it says Atlanta United. I'm a sucker for things like that. So
I'm on hat one. That's all I got. Hat one and a scarf, a couple scarves.
Well, but I guess I've really only got the two hats. I've got the one that I got like when it first came out, and it's not really my favorite because it's one of those like Adidas Flex fits. But the Mitchell and Ness with the cursive script on it is definitely
a
sweet hat.
Have you seen some of these pictures, these like tweets that I guess have been sent to the club? I forget what it's for, but where basically everyone's showing off their Atlanta United gear.
Yes, and
this one guy who's like a wall of Atlanta United stuff. I'm like, dude, how do you have the money? Two, like, there's a certain level where I'm just like, okay, this is enough stuff. He's got two flags, like six scarves. I think he had the socks on. He had another scarf over him. He had one of the hats.
He's definitely got the Flag Friday like flag.
Yeah, I'm like, this dude, intense. Yeah.
No, he's definitely got a bunch of the stuff. So more power to him. And I think his Twitter handle is GT Pork Chop. So kudos to GT Pork Chop for having all that stuff. I also like the one with the baby wrapped in the scarf laying on the.
Yeah, that one. That one to me was kind of creepy.
That one tugs at the heartstrings, man.
It was a little, it was a little creepy for me, kind of exploiting your child that way. If you're listening, bad parenting right there.
And then also somebody
coming from a non-parent.
Somebody on their condo deck in Midtown, it looks like, with the flag and the city in the background. That's the one I like right there because. It's got my city in it, so that was cool to say the least. Another thing that was cool was Andrew Carlton playing for the U.S. youth national teams, and also Chris Goslin. And in the game against Portugal, Carlton had two really, really nice goals. It was a 3-3 draw. He had one goal on the run of play, and then they pulled the old okie doke on a set piece where they acted like they were going to take it, and then they stopped. And Carlton throws his hands up in the air like he was mad about something. And I guess that was the throw off the defense because he quickly took the kick after that and fooled the Portuguese team into allowing him to score that goal from that free kick. So I really liked what I saw from Andrew Carlton.
Yeah, that first game against Portugal, they seemed to be clicking on all cylinders because they just – the passes from Goslin to Carlton, especially on that first goal, my goodness. You know, the sight and Goslin had moments throughout the game where he just picking out passes – left and right, but yeah, those two goals, it just shows you exactly what Carlton can give you, you know, if he's on his game. I'm still waiting to see how that translates to playing with bigger guys, but to more mature soccer players, if you will. But we'll see his growth as the years go by, and hopefully he makes his starts with Atlanta United. But there were a couple other players, Zen Jones, I think that's how you say his name.
Yeah.
And then Charlie Asensio. Zen Jones actually scored in his debut against Qatar.
It's always nice to get a goal on your day.
Yeah, I did not see that one. I did not see that one. I saw the Mexico game. That one was a disaster.
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't work out in your favor with a 6-3 loss there. Really quickly going back to the Portugal game, there was one ball in particular that I saw, I believe it was from Carlton, where he was over on the left side. He crossed over into the middle and then sent one in over the top to somebody that I believe they had called either offsides or somebody that had made a run through the middle, and he just picked him out perfectly. So there are the signs, obviously, that this kid is going to be really, really special. I think, I think he needs to get that experience against more high-level competition and just playing against more mature soccer players to help him in his on-field maturity.
Yeah, I have no desire to rush him though.
Of course not. He's 16 years old.
Yeah, I have no desire to rush him. Take your time, Andrew.
No doubt about it. And also the big guys, the over 17 U.S. men's national team, the senior national team roster came out for the upcoming World Cup qualifiers, and I still don't know how Chris Wondolowski continues to make these teams. Because scoring in MLS in droves clearly has not translated to him doing it at the international level. Very happy to see Bobby Wood up top. That goal he scored for Hamburg on his Hamburg debut in the Bundesliga.
Pure strength.
Really nice. Yeah, he had to fight off the defender and plowed one to the back of the net. Rubio Rubin for Utrecht is another good forward that made the team. Jordan Morris and Josie Altidor, who will captain the team, coming up with Clint Dempsey's absence. And we will mention that real quick. The irregular heartbeat there, keeping him off of this team and keeping him out of the MLS for the foreseeable future. And I said the MLS there.
Yeah, I mean, that sucks. It's just, I guess, I don't even know how that happens. You know, again, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to pretend like I know what I'm talking about, but that definitely is unfortunate. I'm miffed as to what they're going to do without Michael Bradley in the midfield for that first game, because he is out, I think, because of a red card in the last World Cup qualifying match. And I'm very curious to see what they do, especially now they have Sasha Kljestan in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very curious what they do with how they line up, how they you know, the formation they use, and just overall how they play without Michael Bradley, because I am not a fan of Michael Bradley. I don't care what anyone says. I specifically am not a fan.
Oh, we're in the same boat there, because I lost the Michael Bradley hype, and I was at an all-time high with him in 2010. He had a really good World Cup in South Africa, but in 2014, it was the exact opposite. He had a very heavy touch. He lost the ball a lot, turned the ball over a lot in the midfield, and his passing was nowhere near where it needed to be, and that sort of continued in the Copa America this past summer, where it just didn't look like he is the same player anymore. So I'm also intrigued to see what they do without him, because I think that it's not an opponent that you're going to learn a whole lot against, unfortunately, with St. Vincent and the Grenadines. But at the same time, you can still kind of look at the shape and see how they're going to play without him there. So definitely something to look forward to for the future.
It's funny, you see a lot of people mentioning the 4-3-3, and it'd be awesome to see that.
Well, you can play it without him, because
right.
Players like him and Kyle Beckerman aren't designed for a 4-3-3. You've got to have a much more box-to-box athletic central midfielder in that setup, because so much is required of the central midfielder in terms of covering ground when you're playing that wide.
And that's why I think it's going to be some kind of 4-4-2, just with different people in different places, because you've got Beckerman, Jermaine Jones, who I don't think is going to play at all.
No Jermaine Jones. Interesting.
And then I don't know. It could be.
Really not think Jermaine Jones? Because Jermaine Jones Klinsmann loves the guy, and he feels like he's that natural replacement to slide right into that Klinsmann's view of what Michael Bradley.
I think he's hurt.
Ah,
okay. He hasn't played since July 4th, so I think he's hurt.
So he's just in the squad, but not necessarily playing.
Yeah, I mean, Klinsmann is a big locker room guy, so he's part of that locker room. He's, you know, if he needs to play him, then he can be fierce.
I'll say this in terms of this lineup. I want to see Christian Pulisic play and play a lot. There's no reason that he should not be starting against St. Vincent and the Grenadines.
Yeah, but see, you know he's not going to. I can tell you.
That's so stupid.
I can tell you the lineup right now. I'm almost willing to bet Tim Howard's in goal.
Because look, Brad Guzan has not been playing well. And he has to go from starting goalkeeper at Aston Villa to backup goalkeeper at Middlesbrough is a pretty far descent.
Yeah, you'll have. I'm willing to bet you'll have DeAndre Yedlin and Fabian Johnson as fullbacks, Jeff Cameron and Omar Gonzalez as the center backs.
And that's the thing, Omar Gonzalez getting back into this is pretty big for the United States.
Yeah.
I think that's a guy to pay attention to in these qualifiers, because when he is playing at his best, I think he is clearly a starting center back for this United States men's national team. But he's got to be playing at his best. I almost would say that you could slot Jeff Cameron out at one of the right back.
But here's the thing:
John Brooks in there too.
The conversation you're talking about is what you think should happen. Here's what's going to happen: we're going to see the most conservative, like learn nothing lineup. You're going to see like Kyle Beckerman and Bedoya and maybe Darlington actually starts a game.
Graham Susi
will be in there, and then it'll be Altidore and Bobby Wood up top. I mean, it's just the thing we'll learn about Bobby Wood and Altidore is whether they can play off of each other the way that I think Klinsmann wants them to.
Well, the best player we've ever seen in terms of playing off of Altidore was Charlie Davies.
Yeah, and but we're still not going to learn anything from going up against this game. What will be fun to see is Bedoya, Kljestan, Nagby in the middle in a 4-3-3. and have, you know, you can, you know, Jordan Morris, Bobby Wood, and Jozy Altidore up top. That would see, be fun I'm to see because not... you'd be. Go ahead.
I'll just say, you mentioned Sasha Kletchen there. I've never seen it with Sasha Kletchen. Just like you talk about with Michael like Bradley, and I agree with you. I just don't see it.
He's one of the better midfielders in all of MLS right now, past 2 years.
But that's the thing. He's always played well in MLS. That's never been the problem.
But
it's translating to the national team. It's the same with Chris Wondolowski. These guys play well in MLS, and they can play well on their club teams. I know that at Anderlecht, that Sasha Kletchen was a very good player for them. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it translates to the national team, and it hasn't yet for either of those guys.
But he hasn't been playing all that well up until the last 2 years, where he hasn't had you know, any kind of call-ups. The last 2 years alone, right now he's at 15 assists. Last year was at 14. He's got 5 goals, 8 goals last year. I mean, he's been putting up numbers these past 2 years that are – you wouldn't have seen this in the past couple of years that you know, he was actually on the U.S. men's national team. It's not until now that people have been like, holy crap, look at him, look what he's doing with his club. Why isn't he getting called up? He's producing so much for the New York Red Bulls that – that's why everyone breathed the sigh, you know, was like, finally getting called up again. Because it's been kind of – everyone's been waiting for that call-up for him.
You want to know who I would play? This is what I would do if I was Clemson. And look, obviously this is not going to happen because this is way too inventive of an idea for him. But it would be Howard and Gold, just because I think right now he is the best option. But I would put Yedlin and Cameron out wide in the defense, and Brooks and Gonzalez together in the middle. And I would rock the 4-3-3 like you're saying. And in the middle, I would have
Brooks.
What do you mean, Brooks in the center of defense?
He's hurt.
Well, okay.
When he's not hurt? Okay.
this is what I'm talking about. This is what I would do in terms of looking at the roster as it's composed right now of these call-ups, who I would play and where I would play them. That's what I'm saying. So, again, Howard and goal, Cameron and Yedlin out wide in the defense, and then Brooks and Gonzalez in the middle. And then in that 4-3-3, you put Darlington, Nagbe, and – if Jermaine Jones wasn't hurt, ideally I'd have him in the middle because I love his work rate. He might not be the best technical player, but he's going to give you everything he has when he's in that middle. So I'd go Nagbe and Jermaine Jones and probably Alejandro Bedoya, just because I think of the players you have left there that he's probably the best one. And then I would have a Bobby Wood, Pulisic out wide in that 4-3-3 up top with Altidore in the middle. I think that could yield some great results if those guys could play together in that system.
I'd be surprised if Pulisic started in a game that actually – in a game that, while is supposed to be easy, actually matters, and you actually need the results, and you can't – if something happens and Christian Pulisic has a bad game or whatever, and that, you know, something because of him, it leads to, you know, them, you know, drawing or not winning the game, I definitely don't see that happening, but you can't experiment in these games. I know he's done it before, but I just don't see that happening. I think he's going to be super conservative.
Look, man, that is pathetic if the United States doesn't think that they can beat St. Vincent's with starting a Pulisic. You know what I mean? Like, it shouldn't be at that point.
I agree.
And if that's what Klinsmann his rationale is, and that's what he's doing here, then again, that's pathetic.
But you also got to look at it this way. This is the first time they're going to be playing. Normally, you'd have friendlies before some of these. Now they don't have that, and this will be the first time they're playing, coming off of the Copa America and everything. You know, it could be very much a tune-up game that actually counts for a lot of these players. They'll be playing against Trinidad and Tobago, who is obviously a lot tougher of a team than St. Vincent and the Grenadines.
Of course, but that's the thing. I don't necessarily know if you should.
Oh, if it's me, Pulisic's playing, Nagby's playing. Just based on the last game I saw with Alejandro Bedoya, he's playing. I put Jordan Morris and Bobby Wood up top. And I don't know. The defense is pretty much standard at this point.
Yeah, it is. So,
but I wouldn't be playing Beckerman. I wouldn't be playing Jermaine. I wouldn't be playing Michael Bradley. I'd get Sasha in there somehow. Josie, I get him in there just because he's playing well now, but I have no faith that his play at the club level is going to translate to the national team. Chris Wondolowski should never see the field. Graham Susie should never see the field. Beckerman should never see the field. Jermaine Jones should never see the field. That's it. Everyone else I'm cool with.
What's your deal against Jermaine Jones? I feel like talent wise, he's one of the best.
Because
players
he's not part of the future. He's not part of the future. And I'm done with Beckerman, Jermaine Jones, Michael Bradley. I there's no point in asking him to not, you know, there's no point in not talking about him because he's going to be part of the conversation until he retires, it seems like. But Jermaine Jones is, what, 34 now? Kyle Beckerman, I think, is around the same age. They're not part of the future. You're not taking them to the next World Cup. So why are we wasting our time with these guys, especially against teams that, again, are relatively easy than, you know, what you're going to find in the Hex?
Because you still have to qualify for the World Cup.
No, I agree. But
yeah,
Jermaine,
I will say that.
From what I've heard, Jermaine Jones is hurt. Why he's on the team, I have no idea.
Yeah,
he hasn't played since July 4th. Is from what I've read. I can't go back.
It's more of a fantasy roster from my perspective and what I would want to see in an ideal situation. But again, Jurgen Klinsmann has proven, like you said earlier, that he's going to play the roster that he trusts the most.
Yeah.
And with a lot of these guys, it's just about trust. Like, he doesn't trust anybody else to play left back. So he puts Fabian Johnson back there, which severely limits what the United States can do on the attack, because Fabian Johnson, left midfielder or left winger, versus Fabian Johnson, left back, there's no comparison. He can't contribute in the attack like we know he is capable of doing from the back line, which hurts the United States tremendously, in my opinion.
One thing I do like is that you do have actual wingers on this team.
You do.
It's not always been the case. I have no faith at this point that he's going to play him in the right position. So, I mean, time will tell. I mean, we'll see. We'll figure out next week. I'll actually be at the game. Myself and Seamus are going to be at the game in Jacksonville.
Nice.
So we'll hopefully try to talk to Kenwin Jones if we get a chance. And we'll obviously get some words with some of the U.S. men's national team guys. And we'll report back to you next month. Well, no. Next Monday might just be you and Jason.
Okay.
I won't be here. Well, you know what? I might be able to take my stuff and go to Jacksonville. I might be able to do it live from Jacksonville. How about that?
Yeah, I was going to say, you put in the effort there, man.
I can do it. I take that back. I'll be there.
Yeah.
Put like a champion. About,
yeah, that's right. You know, that's the thing. We are mobile. The Miles of the South are mobile. And as you mentioned there, Kenwin Jones will be playing against the United States down there. And that's going to be cool that you get to see that. And yeah, mad jealous of that. So
I'm gonna try to see if we can't get a, you know, some kind of like a 5-minute interview before the game, the day before, or something like that. Just see if we can get him to talk specifically about Atlanta United. Because I mean, a World Cup qualifier, you don't want to go talk to someone about the club he's going to play for, you know, in 6 months. You'd rather talk to him about the game he's at, you know, there for. So maybe we can get him before the game. Like the day before.
That would obviously be really great. And, you know, you could tell him the Mouths of the South say what's up. So that'd be pretty cool, as Kenwin Jones is definitely going to be a guy that the United States needs to look out for. Well, I guess that really wraps us up here this week on the Mouths of the South podcast. It's been an interesting episode from the sense of us trying to remind the club that it is about the fans, and especially something when you're talking about naming a supporter section. So any feedback you guys have on what we've talked about today, send us an email, motspodcast.com, or why did I say it like that? motspodcast@gmail.com. You can also tweet us at motspodcast, and it might take Eric a little while to get some of those tweets because he has something called an Android, which those of us
in the real world
who own iPhones like normal people, have to teach you Android folks.
Can your phone draw pretty pictures? I don't think so. Can your phone make instant GIFs? I don't think so.
It's called Snapchat.
Whatever.
there are many apps.
I've got the S Pen.
Things like that. thank you guys so much for listening to us. We will be back with another exciting episode of the Mouths of the South podcast. Coming up, Eric will be live from Duval County, Jacksonville. Eric, make sure to check out the seafood kitchen down there in Atlantic Beach. That spot is very, very awesome. Also, if you need to go get some beers, go swing by Bold City Brewery. Those are my recommendations to you for down in Jacksonville. So yeah. We'll be talking to you guys next week. For Eric, I'm Sam. This has been the Miles of the South podcast. Take it easy, ATL.
See ya.